Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sequoia, who is here to speak with us about a very tangible example of something we often talk about in practice. Welcome, Sequoia.
Hi, Jen.
Hey.
Thank you.
How was that for an enigmatic start?
I know.
I didn't want to give anything away.
Well, thank you.
I was just looking at it because it feels like, I mean, the way I would phrase it, and you can tell me if it feels like it fits, is just that place that we've been talking about. I mean, we talk about it all the time, but I've heard a number of people speak of it lately in terms of being intrigued by the experience and sort of wanting to see what's being pointed at with life living through us. And it seems like, right, that what you're going to talk to us about is a very direct experience and an example of that.
Yes, I've been looking at it, and it's exactly that. So do you want me to go into my...
Please, go.
Because it is a process that I've heard others talk about in so many areas. And for me, we talked recently on an open air. I've been doing the cooking at the monastery, mm-hmm. And it's fun to watch this process show up in the area of cooking. And here's how it shows up for me. I've noticed a few times when I sit down to eat, I feel like jumping up and saying, yum. And and it's funny. It's not coming from a place of, wow, I cook something really good. It is not coming from that at all. It's coming from a place of like, wow, who cooked that? You know, sort of, how did that happen?
I vaguely remember that I was in the kitchen all day, but
it's clear that I didn't do it.
Yeah,
it's mm-hmm. so clear that I did not do that, and it's just this sense of wow and wonder. And you know, as you started it off with, so it's been pointed to in so many different areas of practice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it can be, I predict, for people a little bit mysterious. What does that feel like? And it is tricky, right? Because there are so many ways that I does want to come in. And I would project even your ability to experience the wow and not be taken to a place, I would project, of, I mean, gosh, I mean, you know, you're not supposed to have that reaction to your, quote, own cooking. Mm-hmm. But the practice that you've done allows you to realize that's not what's going on. This is about, you know, it's almost like when life lives through us, we get to receive, like you, in this case, you get to receive the cooking in the same way that any of the rest of us who live here get to receive the cooking, because it's not I who did it. It's a completely different experience.
A completely different experience. And yes, as you're talking about that, it's like, it would be such a different place to go from that place of, well, yeah, I cooked this and it's good, but gosh, I shouldn't really.
Yeah, a little less salt or a little more of this.
You know,
or,
I shouldn't really toot my own horn about this, you know?
It's
a different experience to just like be, I mean, I could, you know, I project at the same, be in the wonder of life, you know?
Be in the wonder of life,
Yes, I can just imagine life with all of its creations if it did such a thing, it might be going, wow.
Yeah. You know what, one of the things that just dropped in when you were saying that, Sequoia, was how, you know, we'll be in group or retreat or that sort of thing, and Sherry will be facilitating, and I'll hear her say something along the lines of, like, she's talking, right? She's talking to whoever, and she'll mm-hmm. say something, and then I hear her say, wow, I've never heard that before. It's that same, she just said it.
Yes.
But she didn't just say it, right? It's literally, it was said, and she got to hear it. She got to receive it in the same way anyone else in the room did, just like the cooking.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely, the very same process.
Yeah.
And it's so fun and to recognize the process through years,
yeah.
you know, through a lot of practice,
yeah.
and then you know, in paying attention, you know, realizing it's not something that's just attached to a particular content,
mm-hmm.
and it you know, it's a process that can be practiced.
Say more. Do you have any? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's just a process that can be practiced in any area. I've been looking at this, and I think, there's like certain areas that it seems more difficult to access that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I look at it, what I'm seeing is it's probably just a series of beliefs that stand in the way of that.
Yes. Exactly so. Exactly so. And that for whatever set of reasons for this person, it's life lives through them in cooking food, you know, with relative ease. Although, as you say, lots of practice has been done, not so much to get to the point where the food can be how it is, although that's certainly in there too, but also so that there can be that level of disidentification to be able to also enjoy it and not get, you know, beaten about it and kind of that egocentric place of, like, as we say, like this beautiful meal and then picking it apart for the tiny little this and the tiny little that. But that's so for you, that it's been available in that area. Maybe for it's challenging for you in another area, whereas for someone else it's going to be vice versa.
Absolutely. I find that very fascinating. And, it just kind of an interesting practice for all of us to look at, you know, what are the areas where it shows up with ease and what are the areas that, you know, there might be a bit more something. Yeah. What is it that's standing in the way there? Just look at that.
And that level of just, I predict, open curiosity with no judgment and no criticism and no self-improvement program, that in itself is a form of mastery, right?
Yeah.
Because then everything just becomes an exploration.
It all becomes a wow, you know?
It all becomes a wow, exactly.
I'm just grateful to have the opportunity to have this area where it's so readily available, it's just a great deal of fun, I just want to say a word about the garden in this whole process too.
Oh please,
I'm not sure exactly the whole, everything that's going on with this, but the garden is such an important aspect of this as well. It's another area where we can go into the garden and we can look around and we can see these beautiful growing plants and there's these wonderful things to eat, and it's seasonal too, like, you know, one week we've got artichokes and the next week we've got onions or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that too invites this same sort of life process.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, I just don't have the same sense when I go to the supermarket. It's like at the supermarket you can get almost anything you want anytime.
Anytime. But, what a good point.
Yeah, when you go into the garden, you get what life offers.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting to look around and say, oh, what's it offering now? And how does that go with that? And what can we do with this? And
Oh, my gosh. I am just going right there as you're saying it, because it's almost like magic, because to physically be able to go out there and walk around. It's completely different than sitting at a piece of paper. Okay, now let's see, what should we do on Thursday? And what are we going to have on Friday for snack?
Yeah.
But right, to actually physically get to walk through it and go, oh, there's Wednesday. There's Wednesday morning. Got it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's
yes.
Unbelievable.
That's yeah. it. Yes. That, I have such a big smile on my face because that is the process of,
yeah.
I don't even know what process it is, but it's the process of being in harmony with life and just, you know,
yeah.
saying yes to what's offered, and then it's just exciting.
It's so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear when it's happening. I don't know. That's why I was so happy you were going to bring the garden into it, because I don't know if I have the words for it, but I just watch, I walk through that garden right now currently, and I feel like the relationship between the garden and the kitchen is so much deeper than I've ever experienced it at the
mm-hmm.
monastery before. But there's this way in which, I don't know, yeah, it's just, the only way I could describe it is it's gone from the head to the heart.
Yeah.
That right, that those vegetables, it's as if, yeah, I don't know, that just that one grew so that was going to go in that meal, and then it just, it's a work of art. It's a work of art, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's a work of love from life, you know?
Yeah.
It's just awesome, and it's a work of love for our gardening coordinator and for all the
yeah.
folks that go out and work in the garden and yeah.
All the visiting monks,
all the folks
on the street for working meditation.
Yes.
As
yes.
you say, the garden
yes.
coordinator.
Yes.
And
yeah.
And even the person
yeah.
who's cooking all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's thrilling. And then, you know, it's like I said, sometimes I cannot go to sleep at night because I can just seeing the things there and the colors of them and, you know, yeah. What one
colors.
Just go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do a whole good news update on the colors.
On the colors.
On the food. Oh, my gosh, and the textures.
And
right?
Really...
And just the tiniest thing. I just noticed the tiniest thing of, like, wow, adding lemon to that, that was brilliant. That completely
yeah.
changed that meal, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Mm. So
it
anyway.
Feels like it invites all of us to calibrate at a very quiet, beautiful, subtle level.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's my experience
uh-huh.
of it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, that is what's happening, isn't it? It's just, yeah,
yeah
a constant calibration.
Yep.
And boy, we know when it's we know when we're calibrating.
We do. We know.
Yep. No, not that, but oh yes, that, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Sequoia. Anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
I can't think of a thing except, you know, we always just invite everyone to come eat with
yep.
us. Come retreat
come eat
with
and
us.
Play and dig around
play.
In the garden. And the
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Well,
yeah.
thanks so much, Sequoia, for being with us.
All right, bye, Jen.
Okay, bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sequoia, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. And yourself?
Isn't that good? Both of us are good. Yes.
Great.
Yeah. Enjoying this. It's not, we're almost out of spring, aren't we? We're almost into summer.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, the weather can't seem to make up its mind one way or the other.
Yeah, but it's gorgeous, so.
Yes.
Happy
yes,
about that,
gorgeous.
Yeah. And yeah. As those gals were talking, the garden is just kind of beside itself. And I like that invitation. Come and eat with us. Come play in the garden and then
yes.
and then eat with us. Yeah.
Yes.
Looking
and
forward to that.
Yes, I was in the garden there recently working, and that was a real joy and privilege, and eating there also. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is, as they were saying, it really is such a very different experience. I mean, most of us are privileged enough that we can go to the grocery store, we can go to whatever grocery store we want to, and to a large degree eat what we choose. But to walk out into the garden and realize that this has all been nurtured so that it can provide directly for us. You know, it didn't go in any trucks. It didn't have to be shipped anywhere. It didn't anything. It's just, 50 feet, 100 feet from the garden
yeah.
to the kitchen.
Yes.
It's just so
yes.
fresh and so delicious. Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's life meant it to be. I'm not certain, but I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
You know?
And
yeah.
the enthusiasm that I projected onto Sequoia to have
mm-hmm.
the privilege of caring for this food and transforming it and eating it
mm-hmm.
and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very lovely.
And I have announcements here.
All right.
Center in the Bay Area has moved. Email
yes.
center@livingcompassion.org for the new location and guidelines information.
Mm-hmm. And then come and join us.
And then come and join.
Mm-hmm.
And the powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat is a chance for participants to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do.
Mm-hmm.
Several retreats will be held this summer at the monastery, July 7th through 14th, July 28th through August 4th, and August 15th through 22nd.
And they're filling up fast.
Filling up fast.
Mm-hmm.
Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis. A new quarter begins July 15th. Take a courageous dive into emotions you've never been allowed truly to examine at the When You're Falling Dive retreat, guided by Sherry and Ashwini in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. The retreat runs from September 1st through 6th and includes yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and individual guidance with you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a reminder for our callers today, if you'd like to talk with Sherry, you can press *6 and then 1 to make guest show. And focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is great. And Sherry, we're going to start with an email from a reader, from a listener, Yes.
Ooh.
Dear Guest Master, deep bows of gratitude. A question for the guide. Surviving childhood asthma was terrifying. Adrenaline, suffocation anxiety, emergency room cortisone injections, oxygen tents, and eventually 19 months in a rehab hospital with no family visits. Somehow, by prayer, counseling, and grit, the condition improved. Anxiety disappeared for decades and decades. Then a year ago, the respiratory challenges returned, and with it, the desperate gasping, anxiety, and poor sleep. This also passed. For the past 10 nights, anxiety almost mimicking the childhood version arises as I lay in bed with little sleep. Somehow, I know this is a gift. that the support of the group is the wondrous game changer. Courage to travel to the realm I always dodged seems to arise simultaneously as I hear the mentor, quote, yes, this is a challenge and it may be scary, but if not now, when? If not with the Living Compassion Team, then with whom? Unquote. Someone in Sangha shared that she was guided to make a fist with her left hand to expand awareness during her challenging situations with her boss. I have been doing this with some success. Is there anything else to support the investigation? In Gasho from a listener.
Wow. That's big, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's very big.
So, you know, we don't really talk about this much, although I have a feeling that the writer will be all right with this. But, you know, depending on what a person thinks we're doing here, we have very different approaches to life. I think the vast majority of people, as far as I can tell, don't think much about that at all. It's just, we're here, and we're here, and we're here. And when things happen, it's startling. It's shocking. It's, you know, we get into that place of it's a mistake. This shouldn't be happening. And when I hear that kind of reaction, I think that this is somebody who didn't, I don't mean this to sound as judgmental as it's going to sound, but wasn't paying a lot of attention to what goes on in life. Because if we are paying attention, we realize stuff is happening to people all the time, always has, and always does. That you know, nobody gets out of this unscathed. We just don't. And yet the approach, the belief system, seems to be that it's fine. It's always going to be fine. Life should be easy. Things should always work for me. And if that doesn't happen, then I'm somehow being punished. This is a mistake. It's wrong. That kind of thing. So as a Buddhist, you know, one of the things that drew me to Buddhism in the first place was the notion that it's possible for us to pay very close attention to what's actually happening in life, to get a sense of how life is. And in having a sense of how life is, we tend to readjust our orientation to life. So if I, for instance, if I get it that no matter how long life lasts, it's going to be short, that then I have a different approach to life than if I was just kind of going along thinking this is going to last forever. If I know anything can happen at any moment, then I'm not shocked and thrown into a place of distress when something happens, because I know anything is possible, right? I mean, it doesn't mean we're not surprised, because it's the surprise of, huh, never thought of that, which is different from just kind of being jolted awake into, oh my God, I never knew anything would happen, and now this has happened, and I'm completely overwhelmed. I have no idea what to do. So, I mean, that's the reason that I do this practice and that I offer this practice to people, to assist people in this practice, is to get out of that unconscious place of this is just going to go on forever, everything is going to be fine, I don't want to think about it, I don't want to look at it, I don't want to know about that, I just want to and of course so much of that orientation is distraction and being caught up in pursuing things that don't actually lead to happiness. you know, all of that sort of thing. That can, again, you know, that can sound judgmental or it can sound negative. But if walking around with a phone in front of your face on Facebook all day long, if somebody thinks that that's going to lead them to any kind of lasting happiness or well-being, then, well, anyway, we don't tend to get people in this practice until they have doped out that is not going to bring them lasting happiness. It
yes.
doesn't mean that we're not still addicted to it and struggling and fight, you know, all of that. That's not the case, but at least the person knows that those addictions are not going to take me where I want to go. And so part of that is the, you know, that place that we always kid about, but you know, only because it's true, we are going to die. We're going to die, and the only we have two ways to go. Either we'll die first or our loved ones will die first. Those are kind of our only two choices in this. And so realizing that, for me, again, the reason that Buddhism is attractive to me is that I want to know how to be with that. And learning how to be present is the way to learn how to be with whatever is. And that's what practice
yes.
teaches us, to be present.
Yes.
Yeah? So that no matter what happens, we can be here for that, and we can be here in a way that resolves the fears and anxiety that not being present leaves us in. So when I know how to be here, to be present, and this is in quotes because it's not really this way, but I don't know right now another way to talk about it. When we know how to be with ourselves no matter what, when we know how to be in unconditional love, compassion, and acceptance, regardless of circumstances, then we don't have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to dread anything or be anxious or avoid or worried or because we know that whatever the circumstances, we will be fine. So with the person who wrote in, there it is. There's, and a lot of us can relate to the experience, not the content of it, but to the experience. So we have something happen to us in life that is really difficult, painful, traumatic. And what ego would have us do is then spend the rest of our lives trying to avoid having an experience like that again. That's what I learned from that. That was awful. I don't want to ever have that experience again, so I'm going to do whatever is required to avoid it. Okay? And then, as we like to say, life, in its infinite wisdom and compassion, circles us right back around so that we get to try it again and see where we are with it.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And now, again, conditioning would have us believe that that's some kind of punishment. It's a mistake. That if I were the right person doing the right thing, that wouldn't happen. I would have survived that. I would avoid it for the rest of my life, and it would never happen to me again. But if, kind of what the Buddha suggested, not that he ever talked about what happens next, but if we go with the possibility that we may not get to the end of life and that's it. You know, we just fall into a dark hole and that's all there is to it. We have no experience of anything like that ever happening. And so if we think, well, maybe the moment of death is actually going to be a moment of transition rather than a moment of that's the end of everything, then we want to be ready for that moment of transition, right? We want to be here and present in the unconditional, okay, when that moment comes, so that it's just another moment and we're conscious and present for it. So here comes life with a, okay, how about this again? how you doing now? And if we see that as a gift, as an opportunity, not as a punishment, then we see, well, I stayed mostly conscious through most of it. I heard a lot of voices wanting to get out of this and, you know, all of that sort of stuff, but pretty conscious. And eventually, as we go through these circumstances in life, we get to the place that can sound absolutely perverse until we have the experience, which is a wish that we will be tested and challenged in every way that we need in order to be confident and assured that we can be present, conscious, here for whatever circumstances, however we go when we go, we will be able to meet that whole experience with gratitude, open-heartedness, appreciation, that's good enough. Compassion, gratitude, those kinds of experiences that say, I trust life, I know that I'm cared for, I know I am loved unconditionally, and there's nothing wrong with any of it. And to me, that's what the writer is talking about. Go through that in childhood. Oh, my God, I hope that never happens again. Have it come up again. See how that goes. Okay, got it. I see that. I know that maybe there's a next step for me. Okay, I'm ready. When it comes again, I'll be here. Okay, yes, thank you. Very courageous, incredibly
just, courageous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you were talking at the end there, it reminded me of the Way of Transformation.
Yes.
Reading.
Yes, exactly.
And exactly how we develop the courage to look forward to those challenges, because there's something I have not learned yet and want to see.
Yes. Yes. And that's it, Michael. You know, if I am still identified with ego such that when a human being is in a really, really difficult place, all I want to do is bail out and leave them, and when that person is me, I've still got some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be ditched. And
right.
And as long as there's that impulse to bail out on and go with ego's attempt to protect itself and resist and deny, and that's I'm not to the place I want to be yet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you for that, Sherry.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It was kind of rambling and wandering and all over the place, but I hope we made some of the points.
Yes, it was very, very helpful for me.
Good.
That's for sure.
Good.
Shall we head to our callers now, Sherry?
Yeah, please.
Okay, let's do that. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Anna down in Mountain View.
Well, hello there.
Hi, Anna.
Hey. I just felt so moved to put my hands up and be in the queue. And thank you for that. Yeah. I was just sitting here and being in the queue mode with the earbud in my ear, and it was just going right in. Yeah.
Through the ear and into the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly that. And it's amazing how just that experience of being in group where what people are saying is exactly what you've been having a workshop in.
Mm-hmm.
This afternoon I just had this chance to practice in a wonderful training workshop in being present to transience and transitions. And I just wanted to check in on that. It was I taught the last class with students I've been working closely with for months and months and months, And I noticed that just over the past couple of days, I'd been noticing that impulse come up to bail, to go unconscious. And that, it just really caught my attention. I was kind of looking at what's going on with that. And what it seemed to be was that such big energy building around this, that there was that conditioned message of bail, it's too much, too painful.
Uh-huh.
And because that so caught my attention, I was just really upping the support not to bail. And so, like, this afternoon I sat down and recorded and listened before the class, and actually sat before I went into the class. And it was just like to get to be present to that, like, it was, I kept using the words like magnificent sweetness of life. And just feel yourself being so alive and so lived, and that authenticity just being mirrored, and the love and the appreciation and the gratitude that was just, you know, just there in that.
Reverberating around the room.
Exactly, reverberating around the room. And to, to get to experience that and then get to come back to my office and just fall down on my knees in gratitude and pick up the recorder again. It was just...
Yeah, and it's easy to see in that, once we know what we're looking for, why ego wants you to go unconscious.
Yes. Yes.
Right? There's just so much love, gratitude, all that connection, that shared experience. I mean, you've changed one another's lives in this time together. Hearts are just wide open, and ego says, oh, no. No. You don't get to feel that. That's gonna move you. That's gonna change you. So close down. It's too much.
Yeah.
And again, the ego projection of it, right? It's too much for me, says ego.
Yeah.
But of course, it frames it as it's too much for you.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what you get to experience is that, like, what this is, what this form is that the container that doesn't have any separation, and so it can handle it.
Yes, well, and isn't that a beautiful image? It's a container that has no boundaries, has no edges.
Yes.
How can you have a container with no edges?
I have no idea, but that's...
but that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when those containers are allowed to just interact the way the containers are designed to interact, then you get all of that reverberation of love and compassion and gratitude and kindness.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of those with that Jen was just talking about. I've never seen that before. That's one of those things that it doesn't seem in our physical world that would be possible, because we can see the edges of every container.
Yes.
Yeah. And yet that we don't have those. And so I'm looking at a planter right now, and so it's got these edges, you know, it's those plants are contained in that dirt inside that planter. But when I look at myself, I don't experience any edges.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even when I feel, myself, I don't feel any edges.
Right.
And certainly when we're in an experience like you were describing, like you were in today, we definitely don't experience ourselves as having any edges, or anybody else having any edges.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank
Lovely.
You.
Thank you.
Lovely.
I'm glad you were there for that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too. You could have missed it. It could have talked you out of it.
Oh, yeah. It was one of those, like, shots from the jaws of missing it, you know?
mm-hmm.
Like, there was that momentum. I could see it, too.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't know. I just want to be here for this.
To have that experience for all that time with those people and then to be left empty and kind of hollow and disappointed and like a failure. That's what you were being set up for. But you didn't fall for it.
Mm.
Congratulations.
Oh. Well, it's a thank you life, thank you practice. And just enjoying the sweetness of, well, and like the reverberation continues, right? You step out of the room and there's the reverberation with everything around and get on this call, the reverberation of being on the call and hearing everybody. And
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
thank you, Anna.
Well, thank you and see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. Sherry, we're going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Oh, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation in conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Oh, very good.
Yes, very good. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Matt calling from Denver.
Hi, Matt.
I'm just...
You made it through the Rockies.
Yeah, I did. I'm now in Colorado. I'm like, I'll be calling from a different place every week just about for the foreseeable future.
All right. Well, lovely.
So I've just been like sobbing, and I just got cleared out, so this was just the right time for me to... come through because so much of the conversation is just resonating so strongly. As you know, Sherry just completed a month at the monastery, which was like incredibly challenging and so wonderful. And so much of the practice for me there was just like that unconditional love, just being, you know, having no other source of that but myself, and to just practice over and over, especially through recording and listening, being a source of unconditional love.
Yes.
And, you know, it was a really, really challenging month, and also, you know, ego would have me say, like, oh, nothing happened, and I listened to the recordings from it, and I'm like, if I just had these recordings the rest of my life and listened to nothing else, I'd have a pretty darn good life. There's a lot of wisdom there.
Yeah.
So anyways, I finished the month and I'm like, okay, good. Now I'm ready for wonderful things to happen. And the day after I get out of the monastery, I find out that the woman who I had been dating for several months while I was gone had entered into an exclusive relationship with someone else.
Good grief.
And it's like it's so much the conversation you were having earlier of like, I don't know why things like this surprise me, but I was shocked. You know, it
well,
was
I was shocked,
like, totally
Matt.
Shocking.
You were only gone a month.
Yeah, I know. And it was just, I mean, like completely outside of my expectations and just shocking. And not only for that occurrence, but because it brought back all of these echoes of past breakups and past hurt from relationships. And, you know, the wonderful thing was, especially coming out of such a powerful experience at the monastery, it was like, as the call ended, it was like, I've got to get to my recorder. I just got to get to my recorder, you know?
Yeah.
And, and get to talk to the one person who I know will hear me and love me unconditionally in this experience.
Yes. Yes. And it, so I didn't want to interrupt you earlier, so I'll interrupt you now. To underline what you said that brought you to this juncture, which is in that difficult time of being so on your own. It's not like, you know, we weren't around you. You know, you had other people around you who were also practicing, and you learned, you proved to yourself that you are the source of the unconditional love you're seeking, right? Because day after day after day, that's what you needed to come back to. There was nobody else was going to save you. I mean, yeah, you could have walked out of there, but you weren't going to. So there was no escape, and the only thing you had to turn to save yourself, regardless of what you were feeling, what you were going through, was you and that mentor in a little suit. Right, that little recorder. And so you come out of that experience expecting your life to go in a particular direction, and boom, just a giant jolt of, no, actually it's not going to go anything like I thought it was going to go, and you knew where to turn.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, of course, like such a wonderful gift. And I loved what you were talking about earlier about how life will just bring that thing back.
Yes.
And it's like, I just thought I'd worked out my last breakup and was like, oh, got that. Done. Moved on. And then it was like, here you
now
go again.
That happened and I learned all of that and I survived it. And now I found the person that, and so here we go into the future, crash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're all right. You're not happy about it, right?
Today I'm just, there's so much resistance, and like my mind, there's so many stories. It just, it won't cease with the stories about what it means about me and what it means about life and what it means about being at the monastery, like everything it wants to create a story about.
Yes. It wants to create this new chapter in the same story.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There's nothing new.
That is how it is.
See, that is how it is. And see how you are. And what are we to conclude from this? Well, there's something wrong with you. That's what this means.
Yeah.
Even if there isn't something wrong with you that causes you to be inherently unlovable, you are really a failure at picking out people. So it's just basically hopeless.
Well, and what I see for me is that it doesn't get... I'm so on the lookout for the self-hate. It doesn't get very far there for me.
No.
But
nope.
What I'm hearing and having a hard time not buying into is like the life hate. You know, life is horrible. Life is just suffering. There's no way out of it. Your life is just suffering.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yes, except Matt, what you know is that's not true. Because you are not suffering. What you are experiencing is what conditioning does to you, wants to do to you, and how conditioning wants you to suffer. But that's not the same as life causing you to suffer. Because what you have actually proved to yourself is that whatever happens in terms of life circumstances, you know how to be okay. You know how to be there for yourself. Is that true?
Yeah. And I don't want to have to go through this again.
Right. Well, you wouldn't have to. You could turn right around and come back to California, and you could sign up to be a monk for the rest of your life. But I don't think you actually want to do that.
No, not at the moment.
No, not at the moment. That's right. And so I project that you are actually quite eager to see how this plays out. Yeah? So what's going to happen next? Yeah. And those voices, of course, want to say, well, just give up. You know, no relationships for you. It's hopeless. It's never going to. Or it could be, well, clearly she was not the one. Right?
Yeah.
So we could say, gosh, well, I mean, it's an awful way to find out. But better now than 6 months from now.
Yeah.
Better now than a year from now. Better now than 2 kids from now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so as soon as we, you know, get over the shock of it, we begin to move into the, wow, talk about dodging a bullet. And so that was not the right person. All right. Well, is there a right person for me? Well, let's find out.
Yeah. Okay. Let's find out.
And, again, to me, the most important thing that we get to see in a situation like this is it is not life making you unhappy. It's not her making you unhappy. It's those hateful voices in your head making you unhappy, which is always the case. If they were to shut up right now, you'd be a happy man.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
Yeah, and, you know, I guess that, like, some of it, maybe this is, like, that there's so much, like, socialization around this, but, like, there's so much protection for me going on now in terms of, like, this person, and, of course, there's, like, anger and resentment and... It's like part of me is like, okay, that's okay. And part of me is like, I don't want to experience that. I just want to have it all be okay right now.
Right. Yes, yes. And we know what that is, right? And so you know how to do the two-handed recording exercise, right?
Yes.
And so if somebody's there who's angry, then you just let him scream and yell and call names and do all of that. And somebody who is resentful, and then you do that, and you know, whatever anybody's feeling, you get to have all of your emotions. And that's not the same as there's something wrong.
Yeah.
It's only the voice that wants to make something wrong about it that is a problem. True?
Okay. Keep recording. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Take good care of yourself.
Thanks so much, Sherry.
Keep in touch.
Thank you, I will.
Okay.
I will.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Matt. Sherry, I enjoyed what I saw in that conversation is the power of practice. And we keep doing it, and we show up, and we learn these skills. And life happens as we... you know, as we've heard, and there's a great opportunity there to see how the suffering happens and how I'm able to respond to that and drop the conversation.
Yes, and getting that piece of it, that it's only a voice in my head telling me there's something wrong with something that is causing the suffering. So this happened, I'm really upset. Okay, well, what's that like? You know, human beings get really upset. well, now I'm angry about this. And I can watch that conversation in my head that wants to make something, make this a bad thing, wants to plan the future, wants to compare it to the past, wants to, and again, without that, what would I actually be experiencing now? A ton of energy. It'd be a great time to take up some very vigorous sport because, God, yes. Do I have a lot of energy, right? And I have all of that energy. You know, when I know what it's like to be in that kind of situation, and this sort of thing just sounds nuts, but without that voice making all of this meaning, then I'm actually a free human being able to do anything I want, go in any direction I want. I don't have to attend to anybody else. I don't have to consider anybody else, right? And so what do I want to do with my life? Without those voices, that's the kind of thing that we would be contemplating.
Yes. The freedom is the word that dropped in as you were describing
freedom.
That.
Exactly. Freedom.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I remember, actually, I hope this is okay to talk about, but at one point you left a job and you didn't know where the next job was going to come from. And what you realized is, I really didn't like that job. Mm-hmm. Now, instead of being in that job that I really didn't like, I'm freed up to look for another job that I will enjoy, which
yes.
happily you found.
Yes, yes.
But the voices exactly. want to make everything a tragedy, a failure, an awful circumstance. Well, it's the old Chinese story, isn't it? Maybe yes, maybe no.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how
yes,
awful.
Exactly.
Well, maybe yes, maybe no.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I remember you saying that when I'm identified, I can't see the better possibility, the better future, we might even
right.
say, that is available, that is actually, you know, really there.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, we have so much conditioning that says what you're experiencing, you shouldn't be experiencing. There's something wrong with what you're experiencing. This feels awful. Well, does it really, without that judgment, does it feel awful to feel angry or to feel sad or to feel whatever it is that's going on? Does it actually feel awful, or is it that story in my head telling me it's awful is what's making it awful?
Yes. Yes. And fortunately, we have a practice that encourages us to find out for ourselves from our own experience what's actually
That's
going
right.
on.
That's right. Feel it. Feel it all. We're human.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
human beings. We're sentient. Feel it. Go ahead. There's not a problem. Feel it.
Yes.
Doesn't make you a bad person. Yeah, go ahead. We
exactly.
got somebody else.
We have several somebody else's here, and we have time for at least one more of them.
Oh, good.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Tony from Athens.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Michael. Gosh, no matter how much I try to prepare myself for that unneeded moment, it's still, whoa. And sitting here just breathing and breathing. Wow. Mm. Yeah, I had a big experience on Saturday, and I just felt worthy of sharing. So, and it's a lot of what I got to was some unconditional love, but it was very intense. Something happened, and someone, a loved one, got really angry at me. And that doesn't happen often because I work pretty hard to try to keep people.
I've known you a long time, Tony. I know that, yeah, Yeah, you do pretty much anything to avoid that experience, right?
Absolutely, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So that it was very difficult. I cried so much that I gave myself a headache just because it was so. I mean, tears from like the bottom of my being felt like somebody died. I mean, it was just. But two-handed recording and listening. I mean, and conditioning was trying to kill me through all of this. I mean, really.
It's your fault. You really are an awful person.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I've ruined, you know, this person's life. I've just ruined it. I wasn't even sure I was going to make it. But I'm very much in the habit of doing two-handed recording practice. And I just kept doing it. I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And it really shifted. One of the places I got to, and I think this is from the mentor, was like, it of course got to a place of unconditional love. Even this, you know, it was like several worst things imaginable happened. And so, like, even here, you know, mentor, I'm loved, unconditionally loved here. And also this place of that this human being is more important than even if everyone in the world is angry at me, that this person is still more important than all of that.
Oh, good for you, Tony. Yeah. The two things about that to me that are so important is, one, you know that you would never, ever, ever intentionally do anything to upset anybody. You just wouldn't.
Yeah. Right.
Now that doesn't mean somebody won't get upset. It doesn't even mean you wouldn't do something that somebody got upset over. It's just that you would never have intended it.
Right.
And that because of that, you know the goodness of the human being, and that you would never sacrifice her, regardless of what anybody said, thought, or did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But previously, I would have.
Yes. Oh, yes. Before practice? Oh, we all would have.
Yeah, well, even up until kind of recently, I mean, I've still tended to kind of sacrifice myself. Pardon?
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like it's back to our first conversation, right? That coming around again, that coming around. You've sacrificed.
Yeah.
You've been willing to sacrifice her so many times, so many times, so many times, and getting to that point of finally realizing, no, I don't want to do that. I can't do that anymore.
Exactly. Yes.
Mm.
And I attribute practice, and I attribute lately because I'm really devoted to the two-handed recording and listening practice, and I feel like I keep thinking I've experienced everything I could experience, and then there's something else of that there's in here. Yes, here too is a place for unconditional love, and we're really not sacrificing this human being and taking care of her and her feelings and her needs.
Yeah, her innocence, you realize her innocence. So stuff happens in life all the time, right? There are misunderstanding, miscommunications, different expectations, assumptions, all kinds of things happen in human relationships. But not to have to confuse that with there's something wrong with this person. You somehow deserve this. You've done something and you deserve to be punished or mistreated or that sort, to get to the place of realizing, no, that is absolutely not the case, and I won't do it. I can be really sorry that person is experiencing whatever they're experiencing, but that's not the same as I need to feel bad or be punished.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, good reminder of that distinction. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, and so from what you said, it sounds like if I understood you correctly, that you sort of thought that you had exhausted the two-handed recording material, and then life gave you another opportunity.
Yes, because I keep thinking, oh, wow, I hit on, you know, like all the big issues and all the big traumas and all the big karma, it seems like. And then, so this it surprised me that, wow, there's that one.
Yeah, it's that same kind of shock that Matt was talking about, right? You're going along in life and you think it's going in a certain direction, and then all of a sudden there is such a curveball. You never saw it coming, and
exactly, yeah.
And you get to find out that you can take care of yourself. Again, moving toward that, it's okay. I'll be there in unconditional love with you no matter what.
Yes, yes. It's so good. It is just, it's so, I don't, there's not a good enough word to say
right.
it.
Just, yeah. It's the best.
It is. It really mm-hmm. is.
Such a comfort.
Knowing that, keep experiencing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Tony. I'm glad you let us know about that.
Thank you.
That's big. Yeah.
It felt really big, and that's why I don't call in very often, so it felt big enough that I wanted to call in.
Mm-hmm. Well, you call in, but you don't get in the queue?
Sometimes a lot of times I'll listen every Tuesday, but I don't
mm-hmm.
get in the queue that often.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you did tonight.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tony. Sherry, I was struck by, in that conversation, something you said earlier in the show about life in its infinite wisdom and compassion providing these experiences for us that I would do anything in my power to avoid. And yet here it is. And the door opens. And record.
Yes.
And I come out the other side.
Yeah, and the power of that, of course, is we don't have to avoid life. Right?
Yes.
I mean, once we get it, it might take a while. Both Matt and Tony certainly indicating that this is not a one recording event.
Yes.
But we don't have to be afraid of life. We don't have to let ego shut us down and close our hearts and that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing, because we know, all right, there'll be a lot of painful things, and I know how to get through them. I'd rather live wholeheartedly, open-heartedly, and take the lumps and bumps than to live a closed-down, frightened, negative sort of a life where I'm, in quotes, protected from hurt. I'm protected from hurt by living in hurt. That's insane.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah. And Sherry, we are very close to the top of the hour here. I don't think we have time to take another caller. It's 2 minutes till 6 o'clock.
Well, then we'll just say thank you to these and to you and everybody who makes this possible. And plan on doing this again next week. How about that?
I look forward to it very much.
Me too. Thank you, Michael.
All
Thank
right.
you, everybody.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.